So as we heard from Tim and Helen read for us that passage, I've taken the version in Mark chapter 1 where the man with leprosy comes to Jesus. And let's just kind of hear the story again. There's this man, he's afflicted by this crippling skin disease, but he comes to Jesus. Now let's remember, this man is desperate. The disease has ruined his life. People keep their distance way more than the social distancing that we are doing. They keep their distance, and there is no way he can get work. Not with any clever Perspex screens or anything. He simply is not going to be able to work. So not only does he have the physical discomfort of the disease, but his life is going nowhere. It's this perpetual discomfort and dissolution, really. And so when he comes to Jesus, he's at that point of desperation. He has no shame. I mean, how can things possibly get any worse? So he comes up to Jesus and he sinks to his knees and he literally begs Jesus and calls out to him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Let's just pause and hear those words, because in those begging phrases, he reveals two things. First, he reveals a basic belief that Jesus does have the ability and the power to heal. "You can make me clean." But secondly, he conveys an uncertainty as to whether Jesus would be willing to heal him. Because after all he has experienced from anyone else on the planet is distance and rejection. But then in that moment, with the crowds watching on, seeing what is going to happen next, Jesus reaches out and touches the man. There's a moment's pause, there's a silence. Everyone now listening, what is Jesus now going to say? Having touched the man, Jesus then says, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the ailment left him and his skin is newer than it ever was. I want us to see the importance of that key action that Jesus took. He reached out and touched. Touch communicates. It says loud and clear, "I am with you." It shows that he identifies with the man and his suffering. And it communicates that in a way that is deeper, but is more profound, that is louder than any words could express. And so it's only having given that communication of the physical touch that then Jesus builds on it by then saying, "I am willing, be healed." Let's do this. Let's see you healed. He says that after the basic human to human communication of touch. Now for us, touch has become a no-no because of the virus. If you actually remember back, I mean, it's like an epoch ago, but if you remember back to the end of February, the beginning of March, touch was the first thing to go. You know, don't shake hands, avoid touching and all that. It was the first thing before the sort of lockdown or the hard lockdown came. But even without the virus, as a culture in the West and here in the UK, we are much more sensitive about touch than maybe previous generations. And that's right to many levels, because let's be honest, some of us like touch, some of us are okay with touch. some of us are less comfortable with it or uncomfortable with it. And even with that aside, whether people are comfortable or less so, we have learned as a culture, and this is a good thing, we've learned that even if someone is comfortable with touch, there is inappropriate touch as well as appropriate touch. And we've learned the difference, or at least I hope we've learned the difference as a culture between those. And that's a good thing. But for me, I'll be honest, I miss that that sense of being together, that oneness. Especially I miss the prayer ministry that we would offer maybe as part of our gathered meeting, our worship together. I miss that immediacy of being with someone, of laying on of hands if that's appropriate, and if the person being prayed for is okay with that. Because there's that sense we're in this together before God, and I'm calling on God for my brother or sister, for God to act, and I stand with them. I miss that sense of touch and being together, the immediacy of that. Because again, it's that identification that I talked of earlier. But here's the thing, even in lockdown, there have been times where some level of touch has actually, dare I say it, been the right thing to do. Now, here's I'm going to give a confession here, a lockdown confession. So brace yourselves for this. At the height of lockdown, there was an occasion where I shook someone's hand. Shock, horror. Now, you know, I immediately afterwards, I washed my hands very carefully, and I was able to do that straight away. I don't think I followed one of President Trump's decontamination strategies. I decided that was a bad idea. But I did wash my hands immediately afterwards. But let me give you the context. This was someone I met through the food bank. They weren't a food bank client, but through the context of food bank, I met them. I'd met them for the first time. And this person poured out their life and told me all kinds of stuff about their life. And we had a really long, good, deep, meaningful conversation in which they talked about their life. And I explored that with them and explored various things about lockdown and stuff in the past. And basically was a friend to them and affirmed them as a human being, just as a person to person, affirm them as a fellow human being. And it was on the back of that conversation, the person, I think, appreciated being affirmed in that way and said, look, you know, I'm pretty sure I don't have the virus. Can I? I'm really grateful that you've chatted to me. Can I shake your hand? And of course, you know, technically, by the rule book, I should not have shaken his hands. You know, the fact that he says he doesn't have a virus doesn't count for anything. Of course, I mean, he might not have symptoms, but he might be a silent spreader, for all I know, and all the rest of it. But it just in the moment, I had to make a split-second decision, and I thought, I've affirmed him this far. He's reaching out in this way for this deeper level of connection. And I felt I should honor that and affirm him with that, knowing that I could immediately rush into the church hall, opening the doors carefully and go and wash my hands and then decontaminate the door handles and all the rest of it. So I shook his hands because in that moment, it just seemed the right thing to do, albeit with then precautions taken immediately afterwards. As we come out of lockdown, I think that we are going to have to think and work hard with the business of touch. We're going to have to work hard at it, and we're going to have to think Because I think there is a real risk of projecting, maybe inadvertently, not intentionally, but projecting a false stigma, perhaps even more easily between or among our children. Now we know, don't we? I mean, we've probably experienced it, or we've seen it maybe when we were younger, we even took part in it. That playground banter of don't touch him or her, you might catch something. Well, that it's that, but potentially worse and potentially more wide-ranging. We're going to need to be sensitive still to not touching. But I think we're also going to have to be awake for when we do need to touch and it will be appropriate, when the appropriate physical touch will actually be the best form of communication, of saying, I am with you on this. In this moment, I am with you. And I suspect that going forward, there will be situations that will be begging for that close personal ministry, a ministry that reaches across the stigma barrier, a ministry of profound spiritual significance, a ministry that reaches into the soul of a fellow human being through the physical touch. Well, whether it's through touch or not, I think, you know, we should always be alert to what is the right point of contact for someone right now. Remember at the beginning I talked about our homeless friend that we meet through the food bank. For him, a couple of weeks ago, the right point of contact for him was giving him a set of those prayer cards. And then a week or so later, a special set in the uppercase block capitals. That was a point of contact for him, what he needed at that time. And that's not me being special. It's just being with my antennae up, being alert, and through the conversation and the exploration with him over the years, just figuring right in this moment, this would be a good thing to do. Let's never underestimate the power of coming alongside someone, of finding that point of contact, and with it, the appropriate use of touch, and through that conveying the willingness of God to heal and to restore. And then maybe along with that, you will get the privilege of speaking healing in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be restored, and the power of God at work can be at work through you. Let's pause and pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you that as God incarnate here on earth, you reached across many barriers, all barriers, and you reached across that stigma barrier that's the man with the skin disease was acutely and chronically suffering from. Lord, as your followers, as bearers of witness to you, may we learn what it means to do the same. Give us the wisdom, give us the alertness, give us the appropriateness in each and every situation to know what is the right thing to do, even when it might break a taboo, it might break a barrier, it might go against what the current wisdom or regulations are rightly or what they suggest. But with that, invest in it by your Spirit's power to speak and bring your healing and restoration. and touch and restore lives. And I thank you, Lord, that being in Christ, being in you, with your Spirit's empowering, we have the wonderful privilege of taking part in that kind of ministry. Amen. A sole question to ask people: are you anxious or are you optimistic? You can take that on whatever level you like, but just ask people: are you anxious or are you optimistic? And so, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you?